Hello? Hello? Is that you, Mama?
Well, my land, Curly, how you sound?
I just thought I'd try talking to you like Clem does to Agatha, just for the fun of it.
Good, Lance. Was that all you called up for, just to talk to me the way Clem talks to Aggie?
Huh? Oh, no, no, my goodness, no. I called up to ask, was it butter I was supposed to bring home with me this noon, or was it flour? I forget.
2 pounds of butter, Curly, and a sack of rye flour, both.
Oh, yes. Well, I better mark that down now to be sure. All right, now. Thanks very much.
Just a minute, Curly. Now that you called up, huh? I could tell you about Ned Schlotthauer.
About who, Mama?
Ned Schlotthauer, Curly.
Oh, Schlotthauer.
I just happened to pick up the receiver a while ago, and I heard Ned's wife talking to Mrs. Maurer on the line.
Why, Mama.
Well, now, Curly, I just happened to get in on it, and it's a lucky thing I did.
Oh?
She let drop that Ned had just got some money from some kinfolks of his that was owing to him, and he's going to town today. So I thought, now you just let Ned pay up his debts, Curly. Goodness knows you've given him time enough to settle.
Oh, now, Mama, I don't feel like I want to hound anybody.
Curly, Ned has owed you, to my knowledge, for 2 years.
Yes.
And in the meantime, they've got themselves a new car and awnings for the house and a new pig pen and goodness knows what all. So I think...
All right, Mama, all right. If I should happen to run into Ned, I...
You just make it your business to run into Ned, that's what.
Yes, Mama. Oh, excuse me, before I forget...
Now what?
A little while back, I just happened to pick up the receiver. I was going to call Clem, and I heard one of the women folks out to Oak Farm calling Nettie Wintergreen.
Why, Curly.
Huh? Well, Mama, it just happened.
Oh, that's all right, Curly. What'd you hear?
Well, I heard the girls talking about the Busy Bee meeting this afternoon, and I didn't want you to miss out on it. I kind of thought you might have forgot about it.
Why, if I didn't go and do just exactly that, I did forget that meeting.
Uh-huh.
It's a lucky thing that the way you and me pick little things up on the party line.
Sarah and Curly are just two out of hundreds of thousands of people who pick up little things now and then on the party line. It's a national habit, and we hope that it's a pleasant daily habit with you, this business of eavesdropping on the world's biggest party line. As the days go by, you'll hear much more of Sarah and Curly, but right now, we're busy with the story of Marilyn Owens, which we will continue in just a moment. First, I've asked one of our best-known party line mothers, Louisa May Turner, to be on the line today. Louisa May, you know, is the very charming young mother of the famous twin babies, little Timmy and Mary Turner. I want to ask Louisa May a few questions about Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin. Are you all ready, Louisa May?
Yes, all ready, Ken.
Well, Louisa, what do you think about syrup pepsin as a laxative for nursing mothers? Do you think it's mild enough?
Yes, I certainly do, and I can personally recommend it, because syrup pepsin has always been our family laxative, and it was especially helpful just before the twins were born.
Then you also gave it to the babies while they were very young, didn't you?
Yes. I believe I can say, like so many young mothers, that little Timmy and Mary have been raised on syrup pepsin. And don't forget Teddy, too. He takes syrup pepsin just like the rest of us when he needs it. So you see, ours is really a syrup pepsin family.
Thank you very much, Louisa May. Dr. Caldwell formulated syrup pepsin so that it was especially suited to nursing mothers. If it's right for a nursing mother, then it must certainly be right for every member of the family, because it's mild and gentle, yet thoroughly effective, and because it's in a liquid form, you can measure just the amount to suit each individual case. Less for the very young children, and more for the grown-ups. So you see, syrup pepsin is truly a family laxative. The only laxative that you need to have in the house. Make sure that your house has the big family-sized bottle of Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin in the medicine cabinet beginning today. Ask your druggist for syrup pepsin, spelled S-Y-R-U-P, syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, pepsin. Syrup pepsin. When we said goodbye on the line yesterday, we had just heard Marilyn Owens telling little old Wilhelmina Witherspoon the story of her unhappy marriage to Jack Owens. All summer, Marilyn had heard nothing from her husband until the moment this morning when he appeared at the door while Marilyn was alone in the house. He told Marilyn that he must talk to her. It was a matter of life and death. So she made an excuse to stay home from the picnic to which most of our friends were going. When they were alone, Jack told her that he must have $1,000 immediately so that he could escape arrest on a charge of manslaughter. He told Marilyn that a week ago he had run down an old man and had failed to stop after the accident. Shocked and bewildered by this story, Marilyn has left Jack alone in her brother's house for a few minutes while she's gone over to Wilhelmina's house on a pretext. The shrewd little old lady has just demanded that Marilyn bring Jack to see her immediately.
But, Aunt Willie, I can't do that. Jack doesn't want anybody to know he's here. And he has no idea that I came over here to tell you all this.
That's got nothing to do with the case at all. I want to meet him, and I want you to get him over here just as fast as you can.
But why? I promised him I wouldn't let anyone know that he was here.
Why should he be so anxious to keep it a secret that he's down here?
Well, don't you see? If anybody knows he's here and the story gets out that the police are looking for him, it would make it that much harder for him to get away.
Then you want him to get away from the police? I thought you wanted him to give himself up.
Oh, Aunt Willie, I don't know what I want. Of course I think he should give himself up. It's the only right thing to do, but... Well, if he really means that he's trying to protect Kitty, trying to keep out of jail so that there won't be a stigma on her name, well, what can I do? And, well, no matter what his reason is, I certainly can't give him up to the police.
That wouldn't be saving his soul, no, but... Now, you wait a minute. He expects you to get $1,000 for him?
Yes. How, I certainly don't know. He says Carlton can raise it for him, but I mustn't tell Carlton what I want it for.
Rubbish. Now, what if I was to offer to find that $1,000 for you?
Oh, I couldn't let you lend me $1,000. Why, how would I ever be able to pay it back?
You'd be able to pay me back as quickly as you could pay anyone else back, couldn't you? I never said I was going to give it to you. I've got something else on my mind. You've got to do as I tell you. That is, if you want me to help you out of this fix.
Oh, I never needed help so much in all my life. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn.
You turn back home to your house. That's what you do. When you get there, you just tell that young man that you asked me for $1,000. And I tricked you into telling me the whole story.
Oh, no, Aunt Willie, I can't do that. You don't know Jack. He'll just run away and...
Sounds to me like an easy way to get rid of him. What's the matter with that?
I told you, Aunt Willie. Jack says if he doesn't get the money so that he can get away from the police, he just won't want to go on living.
Oh, phew. But never mind. You tell him that I'm kind of a funny old girl. I'll give the money, all right, but I won't give it to anybody except the person who's going to use it. And I won't send it away, either. I'll just hand it over in person, tomorrow, to Mr. Jack Owens himself. Tell him that.
Oh, it's wonderful of you to do that, Aunt Willie. But Jack wants to get away immediately. He told me that if I could promise him that I'd send the money to him tomorrow, as soon as the banks are open, that he'll leave right away, today, before Carlton and Kitty come back. Before anybody knows that he's here.
Well, you go back and tell him that a person that drops out of a clear sky and asks for $1,000 can't have it served to him on a silver platter. At least, not if they're going to get the $1,000 from Wilhelmina Witherspoon. You tell him what I told you. Tell him that he should come over and stay in this house until tomorrow morning. There's not a soul in town will ever find out he's here. If he'll do this thing my way.
There's no reason in the world why he should impose on you.
Well, you quit worrying about that right now. I was getting good and tired of the afghan I've been crocheting. Every book I want to read's out of the circulating library right now. So if you'll excuse me for saying so, I'm enjoying myself, having something to do besides sitting and looking out of the window. Now, wait. Before we have lunch, when did you say this accident happened?
Last week. Just a week ago, I think it was.
And why didn't he come down here right away, then?
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask him. I didn't even think about that at all.
Did he tell you where the accident happened? What the old man's name was? What time of the day or night it was?
He showed me a newspaper clipping, and it gave all those facts in the story.
The story didn't mention your husband's name, did it?
Oh, no. You see, there was only one witness, and he just got a glimpse of the car. All the police know so far, or when the story was written, was that the driver seemed to be drunk, and... The car was a light-colored roadster.
I see. Well, you say your husband seems to be pretty well broken up about it,
If he were, Aunt Willie, I think maybe I could understand the whole thing better. It might seem more real to me. But the strange thing is, he is so callous about it. He almost treats it like a joke.
Hmm.
You know, this morning when Jack was sitting there telling me this horrible story, I looked at the sunshine outside and the flowers that Kitty had picked last night and the furniture and everything around us that was just the same as always. And when Jack said those awful words about having killed that poor old man and leaving him to die in the street, oh, Aunt Willie, it seemed so fantastic that, well, I was sure it wasn't happening at all.
Wouldn't be surprised myself.
What did you say?
Never mind. I've been thinking. It might be a whole lot better and make the whole thing seem more sensible if you were to keep that man over there until after dark.
Jack? Oh, but he's got to leave before Carlton comes home. I just won't have Carlton go through this, too, after all he's done for me and Kitty. There's got to be an end to it.
Now, wait a minute. I wasn't through. You keep him over there up in the attic or wherever you'll be out of the way until dark. And then you tell him the best way to get over here so he won't be seen by too many people.
But what if he won't come, Aunt Willie? What if he...
Unless I've got sawdust inside my head, that man'll come over here fast enough if he hears I've got $1,000 to give to him. He'll come. Don't worry about that.
But if you really mean to give him the money, and I promise you if it's the last thing I'll do, I'll get it back to you.
Oh,
every
Marilyn,
cent.
Marilyn, I wish you wouldn't go and get yourself all worked up about anything more than we already got to think about. Right now, we got nothing to worry about as far as I can see, except what kind of toast do you want with your cream chicken, rye or white?
Aunt Willie, you've got some special reason for wanting to see Jack.
I should say I have, but it won't do you a bit of good to ask what reason. I'll tell you tomorrow.
Could you tell from Aunt Willie's questioning of Marilyn just what ideas been formulating in her mind? One thing is sure. Aunt Willie has no doubt that Jack will obey the summons to come and see her. Do you suppose she's overestimated his interest in the $1,000 he wants Marilyn to get for him? Tomorrow, Aunt Willie begins to weave a very clever plot. When I was talking about Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin combined with laxity center compound a little while ago, I failed to mention what its ingredients were. Ingredients are mighty important in the selection of a laxative, because I know intelligent people like you party liners are not satisfied unless you know what is in a product and why it is good. All right, then, here's the answer. Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin is so smooth, mild, mellow, yet pleasantly effective because it contains only natural, vegetable laxative ingredients. The finest Alexandrian Senna combined with pure pepsin, blended and mellowed into the most delicious medicine that you ever tasted. Just taste syrup pepsin. The taste alone will tell you how good it is. Get the big economical bottle at your druggist today and try it tonight. We guarantee that it must be the finest laxative you ever tried, or your druggist will refund every cent you paid for it. Now don't forget the name, Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin. It's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, pepsin. Syrup pepsin. Get your bottle of syrup pepsin today. Tomorrow, Aunt Willie's secret plot gets underway. Don't miss a word tomorrow on the party line.